Let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. But recall those earlier days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves possessed something better and more lasting. Do not therefore abandon the confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Herein is good news. Praise. Oh, that's okay. I'm not, yeah. His eyes stop sooner. You can bring the picture up, Micah. So the word provoke, it's coming up all over. Sometimes when I read scripture, I try to make sense of the whole passage and the whole story. But sometimes there is just a word that jumps out at me. And I end up sort of focusing on that word and looking around and saying, what comes out of that word in this passage? And so when I was looking at this before we went on holidays and that, it was the word provoke that just jumped out at me. And it's like, so the odd thing is that, when we talk about provoke, we usually think of something that makes someone angry, right? We provoke someone to anger or something. It's a negative term. But in this passage, it's provoking to love and good deeds. And I think that's why it jumped out at me. So of course I had to go and look at what does provoke mean? What's the roots of it? So pro means it's something positive. It means forth, to bring forth, is the Latin roots of it. And voke comes from vocare, the Latin word vocare, which is about calling someone. So really the word means to call forth. And, in our spiritual practice, we talk about a sense of call, about God calling us, about God inspiring and encouraging us, but calling forth something. So that's what this word provoke means. To call forth. And we are invited to provoke one another, to call forth from one another, to inspire, to encourage. But I think provoke has, it's not just saying something encouraging or inspiring. Provoke does have that edge to it, where we're challenging, we're pushing just that little bit harder. When we see in someone a gift, an ability, an energy, we just don't say, oh, I think you should. But we keep nudging them and pushing them, challenging them to live out that call, to be who we see they can be. So that's the word provoke. And I think it's a profound word as we think about being church today. There's so much changing in our culture around us. And as a church, we're having to think about who we are and what do we do and why do we be. It's just not assumed. At one time, everybody went to church, and that was Sundays. We don't live in that anymore. That is past. So who are we today? What are we about? Why are we here? And those are the questions that we'll be asking ourselves here. We already are asking ourselves, but also our whole national church is asking, and I'm going to talk about some things that's happening in the national church in a second because I think it speaks to us here. But it's like, what is it about being here together that makes it so important? So the other piece of this scripture that just jumped out. So right after that, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together. This meeting together is so important. We need this community. We need each other. David talks about having faith in the woman who tells us, the local woman who lives there, who knows what's going on. You know, we have to trust her because we don't know her. But she is local, so she should know. And it's sort of like when we are together, we are that for each other. We are the people who we know different pieces of what it means to have faith. And there's always going to be days when we don't feel that faith inside. We wonder what in the world we're believing in. We're dealing with challenges that we can hardly hold on. But that's why we need to meet together, to provoke one another to faith, to draw that faith out of one another. The meeting together is so important. And we live in a culture where it is very hard to hold on to a time and place to meet. There's so many other things calling us in so many directions. It's just part of what we live in. But the meeting together, we do something here for each other. That is so important. We provoke, we call forth out of each other the hope, the faith. And it's even at moments like where I might not feel like I have any hope or faith, but you know what? Someone else might see it in me. We do that for each other. So the being together is important. And being together as something bigger than just High River United Church, I believe, is important. Because that broader church also provokes us, and we add something to it. So this last week, the General Council of the United Church met in Oshawa, Ontario. It was the 43rd meeting of the General Council. It's our national body. There are representatives elected from the presbyteries or our districts across the church. So we had two people go, one from Canmore and one from Banff, a minister and a lay person that went from this area to represent us. And they met in Oshawa. They gathered last Saturday and it concluded on Friday evening. And the theme was this: risking faith, daring hope. So that was the theme that sort of centered all that they were doing. They dealt with many proposals or motions, and some of those I've spoken about before, but just to mention, one of the significant set of proposals that have been discussed by our church council and voted on by our church council that went back to General Council was that the church is going to restructure. And we're not going to have presbyteries and conferences anymore. We're going to have regions. So instead of four levels, there's going to be three. And you'll hear more about that. We're part of Region 3. It'll have a name soon, I think. And it's from Highway 13 north of Red Deer all the way south here in Alberta is our region. So I'm quite excited because it's a bigger mix than presbyteries, and I think there's a lot of new energy and ideas and possibilities that are coming out of that. So that was passed, and there was other motions like that passed. One was passed that gave ministers copyright over the things that we write. So they deal with a lot of different issues. We sent a proposal from this congregation asking that there be a strategy established for supporting congregations who are in the midst of disaster recovery. That proposal didn't go to the floor of General Council. It was referred and will be dealt with by the executive. So they sort of grouped the motions that came in and dealt with them in groups that made sense, and then some of the others, there was about 20 that were referred to General Council executive. So ours will be one of those, and I'll keep you posted on what we find out about that. So the other thing that happened, and this sort of ties into what I was talking about, is that we elected a new moderator. So Mikey, you can bring up the next picture. This is Reverend Richard Bott, Reverend Dr. Richard Bott, from the Vancouver area. And he is our new moderator. So the moderator is our spiritual leader. He's the moderator, he or she, they are not a decision maker, although they're part of the decision-making body. Rather, they're really meant to be an inspirational guide. We've had the privilege of having several moderators, Marty Tyndall and, Gary Patterson, come and visit here and speak, and so our new moderator is Richard Bott. And I just thought I'd introduce you a bit to him, but share a few of his words that I think are so important to us. So he was born and grew up in Marathon, Ontario. He was ordained in 1994. He served in Iroquois Falls, Ontario, St. Mary's, Ontario, Maple Ridge, BC, and the last church he served with, Dunbar Heights, which amalgamated with Ryerson to become Pacific Spirit United Church in Vancouver. And he was just looking for a new call at this point, and now is elected moderator. So for the next 3 years, he will serve as moderator. He's someone that I know personally because he's a wonderful writer of liturgical materials. And as some of you know, I edit the magazine called Gathering, which is a worship resource for the church. And he's one of my regular contributors. So I've gotten to know Richard that way. And so I was quite delighted to hear that he had been elected. I just want to read some of the things he says about church as we think about being church. This is what he says. I deeply love who we are as the United Church, a community of Christ-connected communities, doing our level best to try and figure out what it means to be Jesus people in this day and age. We can look at our past and celebrate much of how our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents lived their understanding of this faith, while also recognizing the broken parts that have done damage to many people in many ways. And while we need to acknowledge our past and learn from it, we also need to realize that much of how we lived into our mission and ministry doesn't connect with people where they are at now. The world has gotten broader, and numerically and demographically, our church has gotten smaller. And yet I believe that we are in so many ways well-placed as a denomination in Canada of the 21st century. We have an expansive understanding of what it means to be Christians, one that can offer support to help people who are interested in exploring what it means for them to enter into and deepen their relationship with the divine through Jesus, and to live into the abundance of loving God, loving our neighbors, and loving ourselves with all of who we are. Just as importantly, I believe we have a willingness to learn from our neighbors' experiences of life, of love, and of the divine. And in our places of agreement and our places of difference, work together to mend the world. I'm hoping that we will find it in ourselves to challenge the world's anxiety and reach deep within who we are, recognizing that we are an inspirited, and we can grow inspiration wherever, whenever we go into the world. I believe that we lean into our God moments and build excitement in each other for the possibilities that Christ is building in us. I believe that we are people of good news. I believe that we are people of great joy. Whatever our institutional shape might become, I believe that we, O people of the United Church of Canada, have many more years to live lives of faith and of love. So let's go and do it. And let's help one another as we go along the way. So that's Richard's message. You can go online to the GC43 website and hear his sermon in the closing worship, which was on the feeding of the 5,000 and the little boy who brought his fish. So I invite you to do that. But just to sum up, I want to just pick up on that. Let us help one another as we go along the way. And the final thought I just want to put out there, and I'm going to pick up on this in coming weeks, but I think we are well positioned and already are a spiritual hub in this community. Whether it's our labyrinth, our healing ministry, the simple suppers, our prayer shawls, calligraphy, and I think there's more that we can add to that. to be a spiritual hub where it isn't about you have to believe in Jesus to come. We do this because we believe in the way of Jesus, but we can welcome in Buddhists and Muslims. We can welcome in people who aren't sure what their faith practice is, but who feel that draw to God's Spirit. And we can create in this place a way for people to practice and to nourish their spirits. And that to me is sort of a sense of what we are already living out, but what we can deepen and live out further. So let's provoke one another in faith and in hope. Amen. Let us sing, "Draw the Circle Wide."